This is the Live Feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
Today on the Live Feed, we're at the 2014 Midwest Music Fest with Carol. On this episode, Terry Tenseth will be talking to this psychedelic pop band based in Minneapolis about their lives as musicians, as well as listening to their live performance at the Levee. You are listening to the Live Feed.
I am at Midwest Music Fest at the Levee Park Big Top Tent. That's what I'm going to call it. And Carol just got done playing a set. Can you guys go ahead and introduce yourself and what you do in the band? I'll start with you.
Totally. I'm Brian, and I play the keyboards and sing.
And Carol.
I'm Max, and I play guitar.
I'm Charles, and I play the bass guitar.
I'm Charlie, and I play drums.
Okay, guys. The name Carol, where's it coming from?
It's the street that we were all playing on at the time that we wanted to form a band. Well, actually, just me and Charlie.
Me and Brian lived on a house on Carroll Avenue in St. Paul, and it was kind of this community space where a lot of our friends were coming and working on art projects and just kind of free thinking, and Carroll became a code word for this kind of like space where people felt open and free. And when we started practicing there, and we thought, what better name than Carroll, because that was the spirit we were in.
If you were going to Carroll, you were going to that house. That's what it meant.
Yeah.
So I didn't live there even, and I still called it that.
But. Yeah, it felt like the genesis of us trying to make music, but it's been a lot has changed since then too, I think.
Like none of us live there.
Yeah. No one lives there.
I do know the current tenants of the house. Some underclassmen at McAllister, when we were still going there, are renting it now. So that's kind of cool. It's nice that it was passed down to another generation of those kids.
So the genre you're in is kind of a dream pop, psychedelic, freeform sound.
Yeah, that fits it pretty well. Yeah, we like pop music a lot, but focus on the textures as well.
So how do you go about creating that texture or that sound?
I don't know. I think it's a process of sort of like conjuring or summoning something sort of subconscious.
Personally, so I put my teeth together and then hum. So it's like, and then from there I get a sense of the dreamy tooth grinding qualities that I think that Carol's going for.
Well, who does the spearheading on the writing? Do you guys come up with the music first or?
Yeah, I kind of sit and wait to kind of like have a moment of inspiration and do whatever I can to maximize those chances. So maybe sit in a room alone. I like to find a lot of like solitary confinement to like figure out where those melody things are. And then when I find a nugget, it sounds like a song, but is missing almost everything.
Brian's actually good. I think Brian like brings those nuggets, so to speak, to us. And we really do write collaboratively. But I think in terms of texture and the way the dreaminess really comes through is really Max, who plays guitar. You see some bands who have a lead guitarist who really shred, like, really, like, yeah, guitar solos.
Yeah, yeah!
But Max is pretty amazing at finding tones that really work. And, like, I think there's a lot more. It's a lot more of a wall of sound than it is just, like, shredding guitar.
I mean, don't
licks.
Get us wrong, dude can shred.
He can shred if he wants to.
But
he
to. It's
I choose not to.
Sky.
spark and you're gonna get burned. Don't mind taking turns. And you heard the new sensation, touch color with your paper hand. Call back when you can. And you into the new fixation, dead bodies on a plastic shoe. I'll take another sip. I'll take another sip. Act like one of us. Be like one of us. Act like one of us. Do it all. Other animals. Eat other animals. Certain animals.
You were just listening to Carol's live performance that was part of the 2014 Midwest Music Fest. Now we go back to the interview. You're listening to the live feed.
How long have you guys been playing together?
I'm going to say around two.
Around two.
August 2011 is when we started playing this stuff.
You guys have had some time together then, and you've had some learning lessons and some fun things and some not some fun things that have happened to you. Do you have particular favorite moments you want to share? Or
We ran into a little bit of a snag at the border when we booked a tour and we were going to Montreal, and we ran into some overzealous U.S. border enforcers, and they
you could call them that.
Yeah, they were enforcing.
Let's just say they had a suspicion that we were up to no good,
unfounded suspicion.
Yeah, Daddy was wrong in the end.
Yeah, they were definitely way off base, but that one really sticks out in my head.
They took us into a detainment facility. They checked our car through an X-ray.
They were pretty convinced that we had drugs, which we held up against the wall with dogs.
And then we believe that they tampered with our car.
They definitely did.
When we got to Canada after 6 hours in detainment, we stop at a gas station. We try to fill up, and the gas is just coming out of the bottom of the car. And it turns out
because they took the hose out of the gas tank.
Because to check inside there for stashed drugs, and they forgot to put it back on.
That's where the pros keep it.
Yeah, so
who knew?
We're stuck at a rest stop in rural Ontario, and our luck would have it, it was Victoria Day. I don't know what that is, but it's a holiday in Canada, and no mechanics were open.
Firefighter, because we had just open gasoline pouring onto the tarmac, and
it was dangerous.
It was.
But actually,
we play music too.
So big shout out to Officer Jones at the Detroit.
Also, big shout out to the mechanic who fixed our car. That was actually really serendipitous.
Yeah,
this guy
nice
showed
ass
up.
Ontario-ion.
Ontario. A night?
Ontariator.
Entourage.
Entourage. Yeah, that's actually right.
That's where the show came from.
Yeah.
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 Well, screw you, Canada. No.
Yeah.
No. We actually,
I'm kidding. I'm
actually, all was actually
the United States.
Yeah, it was the United States.
Police Department.
Canada was cool.
Yeah,
it was the U.S.
Like,
that messed
cool
us up.
Rock band, like Bonus. Come on in.
Yeah, they're like, all right.
But it was the U.S. guys that were.
Point is, don't take a wrong turn on the way into Canada.
We're a bunch of innocent guys with long hair and beards.
We haven't had any other really
big snafus, though. Like that's like the best story we have of something negative, but not a whole lot
more.
We had
some highlights, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Where did we just do our album, man?
We were just out in Philadelphia. We recorded a full-length album there, and during the mixing process, we needed, like, kind of a bit of a break, and we went out to a local tavern, you could say, with our producer.
John Lowe.
Our producer, John Lowe.
He's
a
awesome.
Good buddy of ours, and he... the bassist from the band The War on Drugs was doing a DJ set there, and they happened to know each other, and we actually knew him. His name is Dave Hartley.
His other project, and Nightlands.
So he took one of our rough mixes and just, like, stuck it in the middle of this DJ set, and just, like, it was cool. We got to just, like, hear it in the context of a crowded bar. And
it was funny because he put it in, and we were all trying to look cool in the other side of the bar, like with our arms crossed. And someone came up and asked him, like, who's this playing? And so he points
like,
over at us,
like those guys,
and the four of us,
not to be in a band,
grinning
to look
at
like yeah. unsuspicious.
Yeah, we must have looked so uncool, but we were really excited.
So, other than that, embarrassing moments?
We did. We declined a show once. We were debating between ourselves if we were going to take a show, and one of us responded, meaning to respond to just the three of us, like, I don't want to do this, this band sucks, accidentally responded to the band, like,
yeah,
criticizing the music,
yeah,
being like,
that was me.
We shouldn't do this show, these guys.
I was like, these guys sound like a dad rock band.
These guys
and
are
then
terrible.
The band sent us an email being like, hey, you should learn how to email your bandmates and not
maybe you only learn that with age, right?
I learned a lot that day.
You kiss like somebody else. And here's no motivation.
You're just listening to Carol's live performance that was part of the 2014 Midwest Music Fest. Now we go back to the interview. You're listening to the live feed.
So how did each of you get involved with music, and why is it so important to you?
I grew up on a sailboat when I was about 11 till about 13, where I lived with my family in the Pacific Ocean. And I had nothing else to do. I had some some cassette tapes. I had a cassette tape called Learn Guitar by Ear by this really nice sounding man who would say, like, put your index finger on the third string of the third fret. And I had so much time on my hands that I could just go, you know, do that. And then I would get some CDs from my dad's friends and try to learn all the songs on them. You know, some burnt CD from, like, you know, Crosby, Stills, and Nash or something like that. So
that also means that Brian missed out on a lot of important popular culture moments. So while he was in middle, so he never heard Nelly. You know, he didn't know what it was like to have a band-aid on your face. He didn't know what it meant. But in a way, I think that's advantaged our band.
There's a couple of Nelly songs that people play, and I just have to sit in the back. Yeah. Charles, how did you learn music?
Well, my mom is a choir director, and I've been singing since I was a little boy. They sort of lead mass together at a Catholic church. Like, she's the cantor. My dad plays organ. So when I was growing up, my allowance was contingent upon my participation in the choir. So I didn't get paid unless I went to church on Sundays. There was. I don't know if that's a sacrilege or not, but that's how I started. I would just be singing in the choir with my mama.
I heard Led Zeppelin when I was 11, and yeah, that was it.
A very kind music teacher handed me a copy of Back in Black, and I just kind of fell in love, and so I taught myself to play guitar.
Favorite road food?
You get a small individual cup of yogurt and a Nature Valley bar, and you smash up the Nature Valley bar in the wrapper, pop the top on the yogurt, pour the Nature Valley crumbs in there, and you've got fresh-ass yogurt and granola to go.
Whoa!
Yeah, Fig Newtons. I grab a couple of Fig Newtons at pretty much every stop we go to. I have about 5,000 in my backpack at any moment.
If people want to find out more about you guys, want to find out what's going on, where should they go?
Carolmusic.net would be a place to go. You could also like us on Facebook. Facebook.com/CarolMusic1 is our URL.
Two R's, two L's.
Two R's, two L's, yeah. And then I think we have a Bandcamp page, too, with our EP. And then our single is going to come out in probably a little, like a couple weeks, hopefully. So you might hear more about that.
The song is called Jealous Eyes.
I'm not afraid.
That was a live performance that was part of the 2014 Midwest Music Fest by Carol. More information about this band can be found at carolmusic.net. That is Carol with two R's and two L's, music.net. Thank you for listening to The Live Feed.
Thanks for listening to The Live Feed. The Live Feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.